time that you've met them. It's been a really wonderful privilege to have them come and spend these weeks with us. They were only due to come for 10 days. And then they persuaded them to stay a bit longer. And then they were going to go to South Africa. And they just felt God was doing something here that they wanted to fan into flame. And so rather than go to the sun and the beauty of South Africa, they stayed in the grime and the misery of London. But thankfully, the weather's picked up for them. I couldn't believe it sunned a shine at all here in London. But we've been very excited because Craig, what happened to Craig 7 years ago when he was healed supernaturally, wonderfully, amazingly healed. And God spoke to him and gave him the ministry of going to pray, a gift of praying for people for healing, and going round the world starting fires of the Holy Spirit all over the place. And we're tremendously privileged because God has put on Craig's heart this city and this country of England, in fact the UK. And so we're very privileged. I think he didn't particularly want it. But coming from New Zealand, the beauty of New Zealand. But God's called him, and we're so grateful that God's called him to come and to be amongst us. And so let's put our hands together and welcome Craig.
We are truly delighted in being here. We've got used to your weather. And we know it's not true that everybody has webbed feet. We know that is not so. And so we really believe that God's going to do something in this nation. And we just feel a call of God to come back. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I want to reiterate it. They said there was a time when this nation brought the gospel of Christ unto a huge portion of the world. That there was a time when it was said that the sun never set on Great Britain's empire, the empire of Great Britain. And something has happened. Something's been lost. And when you look at history and you see that out of this nation, great revivalists were birthed, that men of God and women of God came out of this nation and touched this planet. And I believe that in God's heart, he has a heart after this nation, that if he used it once, that his eye and his heart will always be on this nation. And I believe that God wants to bring the great back to Britain. And I believe this nation is in dire peril at the moment. It's of great concern, and yet interestingly enough, all around the planet, God is just drawing people to come back to Mother Britain. I mean, my father was English, my grandfather was English, and somehow God seems to be drawing people from the far reaches of the British Empire back here, in one sense, to give back to Mother. But he's calling some of us to come back to Mother Britain, to fan something, to light something, to see something burst. For I believe that God in the last days is again going to use this nation. He did once, nothing has ever changed. And so we find ourselves year after year coming back to, well, England. And we keep coming back and we keep coming back. And frankly, you've stolen our hearts. You really have. And now it is not a labor to come back anymore. In fact, when we leave the shores of the UK, Jenny and I find that we pine for this place. We pine for the nation of England. We find when we get back to little old New Zealand, as lovely as it is, and as green as it is, and as uncrowded as it is, and as wide as the streets are, we find that within weeks that we start to get kind of tetchy and just kind of, well, what we want to come back. So we find ourselves once again sitting down and planning and pulling things together. And next thing we know, we're back here. And again, we're beginning to see God do incredible things. So I'm excited for what God has in store. I believe that as the years have gone by and people have cried out unto God, God has begun to hear the cry of the hearts of people in this nation, little pockets of people who have just lifted their hearts and cried out to God year after year after year. And I believe that God's beginning to hear that. I think something has begun. So get ready. People, get ready. I think that great and awesome things are going to happen. I'm going to ask you to pray. We've done this every night. We did this for the 30 nights that we met before we had the break, where we just ask God to speak to our hearts, to bring revelation and understanding. So I'm going to ask you just again for a moment, would you mind standing in the presence of God in the house of God? I want you to pray this prayer after me, if you will. Heavenly Father,
speak to my heart.
Give me revelation and understanding.
Give me revelation and understanding.
That I would never be the same.
That I would never be the same.
That you would be glorified.
That you would be glorified.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
I ask this in Jesus' name.
Now come, Holy Spirit, come.
Come, Holy Spirit, come.
Release the river of your presence in this place.
Release the river of your presence in this place.
For we ask for more.
For we ask for more.
More of your majesty.
More of your glory,
more of your power,
more of your anointing.
Open the heavens over this place. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Please be seated in the house of God. I believe the river of His presence has begun to flow in this place. And we coined a phrase 30 odd days ago, and it was, the longer you soak, the wetter you get. And we want to encourage you to get into the river of His presence. Because in the river of His presence, there is healing, there is peace, there is an anointing. And God promised that there would come a day when rivers of living water would just begin to flow. That His presence would flow. And so tonight, there will be an opportunity just to come and to soak in His presence. One of the things that began to develop in the previous meetings was just a sense of His presence flowing across the frontier. And we've had and heard and seen many people being healed just as they've stood in the river of His presence. There's been some deep work going on as people have just stood in the river of His presence. Weeping has begun to happen as God's just dealt with deep inner hurts and issues. So be encouraged to get into the river's presence. I believe that it will increase. I believe it will flow. I believe it will grow. And I believe it will go from this place and touch further places. You know, the faithfulness of God is a foundation. Now, I've got a bit of an echo here. Can you just work on that for a moment? The faithfulness of God is a foundation which all of us can build upon. This is one of the constants in life that we can depend on. That in the ever-changing cauldron of modern life, there is one thing that we can guarantee, and that's God's faithfulness. That there is one thing that we can take a hold of, that He has a promise to provide for us, to bring us hope and a future. Many times, people make promises. They say they will do something, but never actually get round to doing it. And you know, some of the greatest personal disappointments in my own life has been when a friend or a colleague has given an undertaking to do something or has promised to arrange something, and then they've simply not done it. And as best as I can, and my memory sometimes lets me down more than anything, I try to do what I promise or I say that I will do. Sometimes I forget, well, not too often, I hope. But I have been known to go out of my way, sometimes at considerable expense or inconvenience, simply because I've made a promise that I said I would do something. But sadly, not everybody is like that. And we all do forget from time to time, but it just seems to be a thing of human nature that we say things or we promise things or we give an undertaking to do something and then, well, the busyness of life, it doesn't happen. Well, we have a wonderful statement in the Bible. And in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, there's this wonderful statement of Balaam. And in the Amplified Version, it reads this way. It says, God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance or compunction. For what he has promised, has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You see, God is not like people. He tells no lies. He is not like humans. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't give an understanding and then give something and go, nah, change my mind and pull it back. When he says something, he does it. When he makes a promise, he keeps it. I want to talk for a little bit tonight on the faithfulness of God, of God's promises unto us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they are yes in Christ. For this reason, we also utter the Amen. So be it to the glory of God." It means that God's promises are yes and amen. That he's not like a man. He does not lie. He does not say something and mean the opposite. What a great promise. Here's another great promise. You'll find this in Psalm chapter 37. Reading from verse 4. And the psalmist says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That's a great promise, isn't it? "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret." I like that. Do not fret. "It leads only to evil, for evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." What a great promise. Here's another great promise. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, and God says, "The eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, no mind has conceived of what God has promised for those who love him." God has great promises. Your mind hasn't even begun to dream of these things. And God's promises are yes and amen. They will come to be. You can hang a coat on that. It's like it's nailed into the wall there and it is definite. God has said, that settles it. It will happen. I had to take a hold of those sort of promises when I was sick and suffered for 10 long years. And as I slowly wasted away, as I got sicker and sicker, as I had hundreds upon hundreds of people lay hands upon me, I just had to take a hold of God. Your word said, you said that you are Jehovah Rapha. You said you are the God who heals. You said, oh God, that by your stripes we are healed. And in the end of the day, all I could do was take a hold of the promises of God and use that as a sure and steadfast anchor in the storms of life. And you will have storms. That is a fact of life. And you've got to learn to take a hold of these promises of God. There's even a place to gently, respectfully, humbly, carefully, reverently remind God, "Lord, you said." Daniel did this. Daniel saw that God had promised through the prophet Jeremiah that the nation of Israel would just be in bondage for 70 years, and the 70 years was up. And there is a place for us to say, "Lord, you said." This is what Daniel did concerning the promise of God unto the nation of Israel. The Lord promises in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 5, again in Hebrews chapter 13, where he says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In your personal life, there will be times when you are challenged by your situation, when there are seemingly contrary circumstances. But the promises, his promises are true. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God is not going to start out with you on an adventure or send you on a task or lead you somewhere and then abandon you, forget you, give up on you. The Bible says in 3 John, that the Bible, that he would have you to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. I have spoken in the past on this fact, that it's God's heartbeat that we are to prosper, to do well, to be in abundance financially, physically, spiritually, all three dynamics of our lives. To prosper means to thrive. What a great word, thrive. It does not mean struggle. It does not mean barely make it. It means to do well, to abundantly flourish. Oh, I love that word, flourish. It kind of rolls like lavish. I've spoken on lavish. Well, I found another word that's kind of got me going. It's called flourish. Oh, that's what it means to prosper, to flourish. Oh, I love that word. It means success. It means wealth. It means bountiful. It means fulsome. It means copious. This is God's heart towards us. This is His promise towards us. It's awesome. And you know you have a right to get excited about that. God has a heartbeat to cause you to flourish. He wants to lavish His love upon you. Oh, I love those words. Oh, I've often said that He wants to come and to dwell amongst us, to bless us, to pour out His Spirit amongst us, even more than we want Him to. And when we begin to get the revelation of this, that God has a promise, that He even said in Joel that He would pour out His Spirit on all people, on young men and young women and old men. I mean, old fellows like Dan will have dreams, and young men like Nick will have visions. And I mean, this is a promise of God. And you need to take a hold of that and begin to get the revelation of this, that He wants to move amongst us, that He wants to pour out His Spirit, that He wants to do something in our lives even more than you want Him to. And you take a hold of that and begin to believe for it and begin to cry out for it. Recently, I've been pondering the many scriptures about God's kingdom. I've been thinking about what God has done here in North London, how much you, many of you, the various churches involved, have so changed over the last 30 or so days. Something has begun. A well has been unblocked. A river has been released. I think as Pastor Paul said, we came for 10 days, and in the first 10 days, it was awesome, and we saw numbers of people getting saved. We saw just large numbers of people recommitting. We saw healings begin to happen, and then something began to shift. Suddenly we began to sense just the river of His presence flowing. I've had a chance just over the last 10 days during the break to reflect on what's been going on. Just the difference, the way that you have changed. Actually, He has ruined you. You'll never ever be the same. You'll never do church the same again. At least I hope that's how it should be. And you should believe for more. Don't camp on this experience. Expect it to build. Expect it to get bigger. God wants to do it even more than you do. And more than that, He has promised that. And He is not one that would lie, or that would change His mind, or that would withdraw or withhold for some spiteful purpose or reason. I want to talk for a little minute about people learning the difference between the entrance to the kingdom and life in the kingdom of God. You see, in revival, both have a great significance. And a move of God's Holy Spirit. There is an importance on this whole thing of entrance to the kingdom and then life in the kingdom. You see, entrance to the kingdom is the narrow way. It is the way of repentance and humility. It is found only through Jesus Christ. And as we come into His presence, as we seek His face, as we allow His light to shine on us, as we begin to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, conviction of sin becomes apparent and repentance begins to flow. And as we repent, as we press into Him, as we stand in the river of the Holy Spirit, as we stand in the river of His presence, so we begin to enter into or through or to the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, we begin to touch heaven. So the way to is repentance, is coming before God and laying ourselves bare. That's the narrow road. That's the way to. But once you begin to do that, what happens as His presence begins to change us and we begin to enter into and become part of, begin to flow and be in the presence of heaven? That's why I think the Holy Spirit led you to call these meetings Touching Heaven. I believe that He wants you to touch heaven. to experience a little bit of heaven here on earth, so that you'll never, ever be the same, so that others will be touched, changed, empowered, saved, healed. Oh, when I begin to think about it, I get so excited I could crush a grape. I mean, you know, just the fact that God wants to do more than we'd ever imagined. This is the heartbeat of God. This is not about doing church. You want to do church? Do it on Sunday. Have fun. But I think that God wants to do even more than that. The life of the kingdom, or being in the kingdom, is one of fullness and joy, the spirit without measure. It's amazing how religion has confused these, and it is taking, I believe now, a new move of God around the world to bring enlightenment on these truths. God has begun, I believe, to release the supernatural and the miraculous in greater measure on this planet. There are amazing reports starting to come in around the world of God just manifesting His magnificence, just manifesting His glory and His power. I showed you previously pictures of just what's been happening in some of these conferences and meetings around the world. I showed you pictures where friends of ours, ministers, people of credibility, were in a conference and gems just began to materialize. You remember? They got photographs of it and sent them to me on the internet. I put them up there. It's been more than just gold dust is beginning to happen. Phenomenal things have been beginning to happen. God's replacing everything that surgeons took out. They reported, and I remember mentioning it to you 30 days ago, about how in this conference, out of nowhere, and they reported halfway between floor and ceiling, it seemed, just like there was a tear, a rent, as it were, in the atmosphere, pieces of paper, little squares of colored paper, just began to materialize from nowhere and just began to float down. The pastor and his wife were astonished at this, and I read the report to you about how they said, well, God, what does this mean? I mean, what is the purpose that you would just materialize out of nowhere, little squares of paper? And God just spoke to their hearts and said, if I can materialize paper, I can make money. And then reports began to come in as people opened their wallets. And they knew that there was only 20 or 30 pounds in their wallet, and suddenly there was 200 pounds. Check your wallets tonight, who knows? I mean, as I began to read this, I thought, ah, is anything impossible for God? Why do we limit Him with our own natural carnal minds? I mean, these are credible, conservative Christian leaders who are sitting there and going, I have never seen anything like this. Does that mean it's not of God just because you or me or us or them and our simple, limited human carnality, just because we've never seen it? Who says it's not of God? And the meetings we had in Allendale in Illinois at Pastor Dan's church, a little Methodist church in the middle of nowhere, what began as a five-day healing mission became 27 weeks. We saw gold dust just materialize on all sorts of people. I mean, just a huge amount. We have no idea why God chose to do that, except that He did, and it just showed His majesty and His glory. I don't understand that, but in our own meetings here, we've had ones where oil has just poured off the hands of people. Why does God do that? I don't know. I just know He's begun to reveal His majesty. That He said in the last days He would pour out His Spirit. That He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. That His promises are yes and amen. And that He said, and Jesus said, the things that He did, even greater things we will do, because He was going to the Father in heaven, that He would release the Holy Spirit. That we would go out and lay hands upon the sick and they would recover. This is the heartbeat of God, that He'd have you to prosper. Now, I'm not teaching a prosperity doctrine. I'm not suggesting you go out there and say, oh God, turn this little V-dub into a Rolls Royce, because I don't think that's going to happen. But I know that's not God's heartbeat that you should struggle. He would have that you would prosper. It means to flourish. That's God's heartbeat. That is actually His promise. Let me read to you a report that I've just received from Pastor Rob and Lynn Packer from New Zealand. Again, they sent the last word. These are conservative, careful, very well known around New Zealand, Australia, Singapore. They have just come back from doing a huge tour of ministry in Hong Kong, in Singapore, in the United States. They're at a major conference in the US again just last week. This arrived yesterday. It says, Patricia, who is a well-known minister in the prophetic in the United States, has just returned from an exciting time down in Puerto Rico where they've been filming. Now, they've been filming some of these things, some amazing signs and wonders. They saw with their own eyes gemstones form and grow on the pages of a Bible that was just laying on the church pulpit. This same Bible has a continuous flow of oil-like substance coming from it in such quantities that it fills buckets. And this same church, now this is going to stretch you a little. I hope it rattles your cage just a little. I hope that this causes you to expand and extend the boundaries of what God is capable and wants to do. There was a time when it was just unheard of that God would turn around and replace all that the surgeons have removed. I stand before you as a living example of that. Qualified, proven, God has done a supernatural, miraculous, recreative miracle. Nothing is impossible for Him. When I read this, I thought, oh, God. It says this, in the same church, now this is filmed, this has been seen. They saw burnt into the carpet footprints of an angel who walked in the gemstone glitter that had fallen from nowhere. The gemstone glitter is sealed into the pile of the carpet, melted into it, as it were, by the fire of God. And the feet of the angel just began to materialize on the carpet. How do you explain that? Except other than it is supernatural and miraculous. It's on film. We got to see it this morning at a staff meeting. I am not kidding. I am not deceived either. Why would God do something like that? I don't know. I just know that He's God. And He knows what He's doing and why He's doing it. Even if we can't sometimes figure it out. I thought, yes, God, Lord, do it again. Do it again. We have seen amazing things. When we were in Ron Furnio, now Pastor Ron and Judith Furnio were here in your midst from Augusta, Georgia, was he not? And we went there, and we went there to do a week's meeting. This kind of is a bit repetitive, it seems to be, but we went there for a week and ended up staying 40 days. Every night, without a break, for 40 nights. And gold dust began to fall to such an extent, just began to fall, the presence, the power, the majesty, the glory of God just began to manifest. People would be, as they were sitting, suddenly realized their hands were sparkling. Glitter was on their face. We would ask them, have you got the glitter type makeup? The guy said to me, you want a punch? Well, perhaps the guy was into it, I don't know. We would ask the ladies, you know, is this part of your makeup? No. We began to see where it came to such an extent that when the person got up off the floor, they had been unable to stand when we prayed for them, that when they got up off the floor, there was a shape of the body in the carpet. Such was the extent of gold dust that just seemed to fall. Well, there were reports of feathers. I don't understand this. I just know that God promises that He will do the miraculous and the supernatural, that nothing is impossible for Him. I know the Bible talks about being under the feathers of His wings, as it were. I mean, the Bible talks about that. And we began to hear these kind of way out there stories of feathers materializing. Now, Jenny and I's response, I'll have to be candid and honest with you, was just like, yeah, right. Feathers, give me a break. Gold dust, okay, streets of heaven, gold. Perhaps the angels were having a sweep out. I mean, but feathers? Give me a break. Now, I searched Scripture. I found where it talked about just being under the wings of his feathers and so on. And so, well, yeah. And so we just began to kind of say, well, wouldn't that be cool? You know, feathers materialized sort of a style and never thought much more of it. People began to come into Ron's meetings and say that they would find on their dashboard these feathers, but when they picked them up to try and keep them, to store them, they would just melt away to a very, very fine, fine, fine oil, much as what happens with the gold dust. Interesting enough, these gemstones that I've shown you photographs of that are starting to materialize are not melting away. So we wait with anticipation to see what the report is, what happens to these stones, where they get assayed, where they get taken to jewelers. We want to know what's happening to these stones, what it's about. Well, we were kind of talking about this, Jenny and I, and we had been having lunch with Ron, Fernio, and Judith, and there was Jenny and I, and there were three others in the vehicle, and we were driving along the motorway from Augusta, Georgia, heading towards Atlanta, where we were living, which is a good 45-minute drive along the motorway. And as we were just buzzing along in the fast lane, in this big old car, we were just all talking about the majesty of God and nothing is impossible for him. And often it's our own mindsets that seem to limit. We put God in a box and we were just kind of talking about it. And we talked about some of the glitter that had gone on the meetings. We talked about the reports of feathers. And as we were talking about this, this is true, as we were buzzing along, suddenly, kind of like, again, it was out there in the atmosphere. It was like this. It was if like the atmosphere was suddenly torn like that. And there was just a tear in front of us. And it was about 150 meters ahead. And what came out of this tear in the atmosphere was a truckload of feathers. Just a shower, just a downpour. The first thing every one of us did was immediately look. Now, there were hardly any vehicles. There was nobody directly in front of us. There was one. It was just a quiet moment on the motorway, early afternoon, about 1:30 in the afternoon. And we immediately looked on the other side of the motorway in case there'd been perhaps a poultry truck had had an accident. And there was this cloud of feathers from all these poor old dead cluck-clucks that had been, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, it was just a natural thing to do. It was in that mini moment, we instantly kind of looked to see. And then in that short time, because you're only talking seconds, we drove through this cloud because we were buzzing along at about 70 miles an hour. And so suddenly we had, as it were, this tear, this massive cloud of feathers. Next thing, shoo, we're driven through. Now, everybody in the car is just going, screaming. It was chaotic. And as we drove through this cloud, we all kind of turned to look behind to see, and we just saw these things just melt, just go. You swung your eyes to the front, and there, caught under the windscreen wipers, was a handful of these little, they're only the size of about, but bigger than a thumbnail. These beautiful white feathers. Well, the women, Jenny and these, were screaming, pull over, you know. And I'm going, I am, I'm trying. I mean, you got to kind of look and see when the lanes, and they're screaming, pull over. We finally get onto the shoulder of the road, and there's this mass exodus. Just imagine, suddenly, all the doors flung open, and everybody leapt out of the vehicle to run around to be the first one to grab these things. And as we ran around the front of the vehicle, we saw these things just dissolve away from under the windscreen wipers. I don't understand that. I just know that nothing is impossible for him. And in that moment of just talking about the majesty of God, that he promised to reveal his glory and his majesty, that's his heartbeat. And in that moment, as we're driving along, he just decided to rent the air, just rent it open. And out of it poured this manifestation. I don't understand it. I know that many times human words cannot express the deep things of our spirit person. that the Holy Spirit himself intercedes for us, groans too deep for words, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8. Hence the encouraging realms of eternity by simply releasing sounds, worship, shouting, crying aloud unto God. As Daniel goes, hey God, come on down. I believe that as we begin to do this, it positions us to go deeper into the places in God through his Spirit, which the Bible talks about searches the deep things of God within. I saw that happen in the Methodist Ministers Conference where I was healed. The man, just about where you are, young man, just this man was standing there and he was just making this unbelievable sound. It was just coming out of the pit of his being. And the conference organized, I mean, everybody's praying for me. People are weeping and crying. The power of God had come down on this Methodist Ministers Conference. And the MC's kind of going, do you have a burden for our brother from New Zealand? And this guy's kind of going, and he's going, well, get over there and pray for him and shut up, you know. And this guy falls on his face and he crawls across the front of the sanctuary, just making this unbelievable sound. And we realize Romans chapter 8 was happening before our eyes, that the spirit deep within this man who just couldn't express, could not utter in intelligible English, as the Bible says in Romans 8, just began to groan in intercession from within in this language. The thing was, he was the district superintendent. He was known for being anti the whole charismatic experience. And here he was, crawling on his belly, groaning in the spirit. And when that happened, the place just broke. Something began to happen. The Bible talks about these things. You see, we carry within us the river, the fire, the wind of the spirit. All these earthly elements make up the sound of heaven, the sound of many waters it's mentioned or described of in scripture. And as we release sound, especially in a corporate setting like this, as we begin to do this, as we consciously connect hidden, unspoken feelings in the spirit, as that sound begins to rise up within us, doors, gates begin to open in the heavenly realms. Something breaks open. And we have seen it here. We saw it just near the end of the 30 days where there was just unabashed, just absolute, unadulterated release of worship. We danced. I saw somebody, I won't mention her name, will I, Jan, who just kind of marched everybody around the place. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was seeing and who was doing it. God's just begun to do something. As we dance, as we worship, as we wave things, I had to pinch myself. Is that really the lady I think I see doing what she's doing? And I suddenly realized God's doing an awesome thing. He's released something. Something's been opened. Something has begun to flow. And we begin to experience the atmosphere of heaven. Oh, Lord, more. Oh, more. If you want more, if you want revival fire, if you want the continued outpouring manifest presence of God, then understand there are some prerequisites. There needs to be an attitude of repentance. You see, repentance prepares the way and makes the road of our hearts straight. It builds up every low place and it pulls down every high place in our lives. Repentance prepares us for his presence. There has to be a sacrifice on the altar for the fire of God to fall. And if you want the fire of God, you, us, we need to become the fuel for that fire. You cannot preserve your dignity and seek his deity. You cannot save face and seek his face. At some point, you're going to have to lose your spiritual manners, so to speak. You have to leave behind your Pentecostal, Baptist, Anglican, Presbyterian, whatever protocol. You need to leave that behind. You need to forget what you are supposed to do and anything else. And it comes down and gets reduced down to just the basics. Just one thing. I need more of God. I think he's close. I can't let him be so close and pass me by. If you begin to sense his presence, then get into the river of his presence and soak. For the longer you soak, the wetter you get. And then something begins to happen. And you can't not get wet when you get into the river of his presence. Just as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. And in the natural, if you jumped into a river and then all sopping wet went up to somebody and ran all over him, guess what's going to happen to him? He's going to get all wet. You want to influence your community. You want to change this city, indeed this nation. Get into the presence of God. Put aside your mental limitations and just say, God, be glorified. Change me. And the longer you soak, the wetter you get, the more you can begin to do things within you. Change begins to happen. He has promised it. And his promises are yes and amen. See, your heart has been created for the presence of God, and it is not complete without his presence flowing in us, through us, and with us. And there are naysayers who will try to convince you that his presence, that this supernatural manifestation is all a load of hogwash. There are naysayers who will say that the presence of God is elusive. It is subjective. But their voices are silenced by that desire yearning within for a union with your Lord, your Savior, your Creator. And as much as some will say, oh, well, it's just emotionalism, something within us begins to cry out for that connection. And here is a fabulous promise that Jesus said. He said, if you draw near to me, if you will reach out, if you will cry out, if you will step out, he promises he will draw near to you. That promise has not changed. It is yes and amen. What began here 30 days ago is a fulfillment of God's promises, is the answer to many heart cries. A river of his presence, of living water, Jesus described it, has begun to flow. And what these meetings are about, and hopefully will remain for a while now, is about us connecting, moving into the heavenly realm, touching heaven, swimming in the river. As we saw in that video clip, when you're thirsty, when you're dry, when you're troubled, when you just need some things to change, you need to jump off the bank. Get into the river's presence. Healing flows. Peace flows. The anointing begins to move. And God begins to reveal his majesty and his presence. Unabashed, unrestricted worship begins to rise. And God cannot help but be attracted to that sort of environment. You become the fuel. You become the sacrifice. You become the thing that he has been waiting for, because he desires to inhabit, not to visit. He doesn't want a visitation. He wants a habitation. He wants to come and do something here that you will carry within you, that you'll begin to talk about others, that the word will go out, that the river of his presence has begun to flow. Let's stand in his presence tonight. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God will just literally rent the atmosphere, that he'll open the heavens, that he'll pour out his glory and his majesty. You see, I'm a very simplistic Kiwi. It just, for me, it's as simple as this. God said it. He promised it. He's not a man that he would lie. That settles it. And he has made it clear in the Holy Scriptures that he wants to pour out his Spirit, that he promises to do that. That he wants to reveal his majesty and his glory. Night after night, as we have met here, you'll often find me just looking. I'm waiting to see it. Others have seen things just moving around, as it were. In the peripheral vision, they've seen things moving in here. I don't think that's an overactive imagination. I don't think it's because they've taken too much Valium. I think the Spirit of God's beginning to move. Even angelic beings are beginning to move. 6 months ago, I preached on transition. I talked about some of the things you can expect to happen as God transitions individuals, as God transitions a corporate body, a church, as a congregation of people. God's began to transition you, just move you from one place in him to another. To move you from Sunday morning and perhaps Sunday night and usually a midweek meeting. He's transitioned to you to the point where, well, we've been running 6 nights a week. We've had 30 nights of meetings. Here we are again. Boy, has he transitioned you. And in transition, One of the things was expect to see the supernatural, the miraculous. Expect to see angelic beginning movements begin to happen. When God transitioned the early New Testament church, when he moved them from being able to eat all food, when he moved them to understand that Jews and Gentiles could mix, read about it in the book of Acts. As he began to do this, he revealed himself supernaturally. He revealed himself angelically. Angels turned up and spoke to Peter. He had a vision. Cornelius has a vision. Before the walls of Jericho fell, an angel turned up to Joshua. Before Mary got pregnant, an angel turned up to Mary. In fact, all through Scripture, God has manifested himself as he's begun to transition people. Why would it be any different today? It's not. He's begun to transition you. He's begun to move you out of, well, good church to something supernatural and miraculous. I expect, I am looking for, I am believing for the supernatural and miraculous to happen in these meetings. I am expecting over the next little while that stuff will begin to happen. Perhaps gold dust will fall. Perhaps gems will appear. I don't care. I just expect the majesty of God to turn up. Oh Lord, do it again. Oh Lord, we come to this place of a Thursday night to meet with you. Oh God, not just to have a meeting, not just to meet for the sake of meeting. We have come to have an encounter with you. Oh God, that we would touch heaven. Oh, that we would never be the same. That healing would flow. Oh God, that you'd touch and change us. Oh God, we ask, open the heavens over this place. Hear our cry. Inhabit our praises. Come, Holy Spirit, come, we ask. Release the river of your presence. I ask in Jesus' name. And now we ask, come, 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 Holy Spirit, come. If you want to get into the river, you may come. Come, let us worship him. Come, let us stand in his presence. Come and stand before him. If you need healing, healing can flow. If you need peace, peace will flow. If you just need to come and, well, soak and get refreshed, come. Perhaps you're thirsty and dry. Come and drink of his presence.